Morning, Journey.
Morning.
Hey, you woke up a little bit since Steph asked you a minute ago. Good. Good to see you here. I literally mean that. After last week, I thought we had closed for some reason. Fall break wreaks havoc on local churches. I'll just let you know that. All vacations from this point in time until Christmas are canceled. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that. Yeah, we were thinking maybe the zombie apocalypse had happened last week and several of you got eaten on the way to church. We didn't know what had happened. I mean, it was crazy last week. But we are thankful to see everybody here this morning. If you are one of our guests, be sure to look at the guest card that's in your chair. We'd love to have a record of you being here if you have any questions about Journey. And also, Associate Pastor Zombie Geek, that would be appropriate. Yeah, thank you, Sean. Yeah, you know, the thing is, you can't do anything to Sean. I can't get retribution because he's back there controlling everything. He'll cut me off. He'll put things on the slide, so I'll have to find some way to get back at him. The best thing for him will be when the Gators get defeated by somebody. It's going to happen. But anyway, good morning, guys. Yeah. Do fill out one of these guest cards. And also, it's not just a guest card. It's a communications card. You can put prayer requests on there if you made some decision in your life. All that information is on those cards. They're very important to us. So just drop that in the offering bucket at the end of the service. Well, some of you who have not been here so far for this series may be wondering, what in the world is The Walking Dead? I always like to ask, how many of you watch the show? Oh, a good portion of you do. What's tonight? Season premiere. Yeah, some of you really watch it. You know even when the season premiere is. What we're talking about in this series is how not to go through life as a Christian zombie. Not just going day to day, shuffling about, looking at what other person you can devour, but living a fulfilling, Christ-filled life. That's what this series is all about. And we're using some scenes and clips from the Walking Dead TV show and kind of a fun month talking about zombies and all that sort of stuff with the Halloween theme going this month. And we use that for a reason. One of the reasons we use that here at Journey, and this is for our regular folks and our guests alike, we want you to have something to talk about Monday morning when you go to work. When you go to work, yeah, follow us on YouVersion also. When you go to work on Monday morning, we want you to be able to share what you said. How exciting is it to roll into work on Monday morning, you get there and say, guys, we studied Romans chapter 12, and the pastor dissected the first three words in Greek, and we're going to do the next three words next week. They're like, what are you talking about? What? That sounds like school. I'm not going to go to that place. I got out of there, you know, it only took me, you know, 14 years, but I got through high school. I don't want to go back. You know, that's the reason we do this type of theme series. You can say, man, we're doing this series at church called The Walking Dead. And it's like, you know, they're talking about how not to be a Christian zombie. If you just say that sentence, that's going to grab somebody's attention. That's, you know, they're going to be like, what in the world are you talking about? And it gives you the opportunity to make conversation. One of the things that I always struggled with in life as a Christian, as a church attender, was how do you invite people to church? How do you let them know this can be a fun time? How do you let them know this is a family? You know, we're together, we're a team. And you can share some of these topics, and it will make a difference. It'll help you in sharing your faith with others. And that's what this is all about. So before we get started in the scriptures and stuff this morning, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you for each and every person here, guest and regular attender alike. God, we're so thankful they're here this morning. Just pray this morning, God, as we use this somewhat funny topic of zombies, Lord, and all that sort of thing, that we do get to the meat underneath all of this, and that we need to be a team as Christians today, Lord. And that's what we're going to talk about, is how to be a member of the team and how to put self aside and to function as one body for your glory, and so that your son, Jesus, can become famous in our community, so that people can know him and see what he does in our lives, God. That's what this is all about this morning. Got to pray you'll bless in all we do, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, guys, you're going to have to excuse me. I usually do this before I get up here, but I got to open my drink. That sounds good, doesn't it? Does that sound like a beer commercial, unfortunately? Okay, we're going to start today in Romans chapter 12. Let's put the first verse up there, Sean. This is Romans 12, verse 3. Because of the privileges and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. And also, I'm going to skip over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourselves. You are not that important. What do you get out of those two verses? The main thing being, are we very important in God's major plan? What does it tell us here? We are loved by God. He loves us. He loves us so much he gave his very son for us. But don't get the idea that you're so important that you, it's beneath you to do certain things. It inconveniences you. There's certain things that I don't want to do. It says, be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Measure yourself by the faith God's given you. Don't fool yourself in thinking that you're too important to help somebody else. That's one of the major problems that church in America faces today, is we are all individuals, and the American way is to do what? To build myself up as an individual. Get all I can get, be all I can be. You know, it's all about me, or perhaps extending out to my family. It's all about our path. It's all about what we can do. That doesn't sound like you're putting others first, does it? You know, that's something that's very hard for most of us, because we do want the best for our families. We do want a good life. And God doesn't say there's anything wrong with that, but that should come as an after effect of him blessing what you're doing for him. You shouldn't be trying to attain all these things for yourself. They should be gifts from God because you're doing what he would have you to do. And that's where we get messed up as an American society. You know, we talk about, you know, the pursuit of happiness and our individual liberties and our individual rights and all those things, you know, during a political season especially. We'll cover that kind of the last week of this series. But in this political season, we are all about, you know, you've got to vote for my candidate. You've got to, you know, everything's going to fall apart if you don't do what this person says. And, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. I'm more important. I have more education. I know more about this topic. I know more about what God wants for this country. I know all these things. And you come across as being egotistical, you come across as being self-centered, you don't take other people's opinions into account, you're not a team player. You're all out for yourself. And that's one of the things that we want to talk about today, is how we work as a team, and not so much as individuals. Not so much as what's in it for me or what can I do, but where's your place on the team? We want everyone to be a team player. A couple of things happen when you start being a team player and go away from an individual. One of the first things you'll see is that our priorities often don't line up with the tasks God has for us. God doesn't always make it convenient and easy to serve. It may be tough. Band guys, all of my friends in the band, how many of you love getting up early on Saturday morning to practice? You just live for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Richard has to see that, say that, because he's the leader and will cut his paycheck if he doesn't say that. Good job, Richard. You'll get a bonus this week. Really, I mean, it's a sacrifice to come and put time in. That's not putting myself first. They have to sacrifice their time. They sacrifice time during the week practicing the pieces that they're going to play on Sunday. And they have to have that ready before Saturday. And they all work full-time. They're not full-time staff here, including Richard. We have no full-time staff at this church. So all these people have jobs during the week, and they're having to sacrifice and put themselves behind what comes first for God, because that's where their talent is, and God uses their talent. But it doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean that, you know, I've got things I need to get done this week. Just because they have to be here on Saturday morning to practice and they're here on Sunday morning to play doesn't mean that everything in their life gets magically taken care of because they're serving God. It doesn't work that way. They still have the same responsibilities the rest of us do. Their cars break down. Their houses need repair. Their grass needs mowing. Their business needs attention. They have all those things. But they've put aside some time and said, no, Saturday mornings, God comes first. Sunday morning, God comes first. I'm giving myself to him. My tasks, my priorities are lining up with the tasks that God wants me to do. Because there are, honestly, other things all of us could be doing this morning. One of those is, one of the biggest enemies for us as individuals is giving up time on Sunday morning. Sleeping time. You know, this is, a lot of people only have Sundays off. A lot of people even have to work Saturdays in our society now. It's different than it used to be. Sundays is your one day off. And again, just because you're coming to church doesn't mean everything gets automatically taken care of. It's a commitment. It's putting God first on Sunday mornings, realizing I could have slept in a little bit. I'm worn out from yesterday. You know, it's putting God first in our lives. The other thing is, our importance to God's kingdom is found in how we function as part of the team. It's not how good we are as an individual. It's how good our individual talents propel the team forward. Now, I've got some great examples of that. How many of you guys follow football? Or ladies as well. I know we got a lot of lady football fans. How many of you remember the New Orleans Saints from last year? How good were they? Really good. How good are they this year? Horrible. Horrible. They're awful looking. Aaron Rodgers is still probably one of the greatest, not Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees is still one of the greatest. Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback, just so we get that clear for all you guys. Yeah. But Drew Brees is one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL, and they can't win. You know why? They're missing part of their staff. Their coaching staff is missing. That was a cohesive team. Everybody had a role to play there. Everyone had a part to play. And when they were all playing it together, which we won't go into why they're not playing it together. You know, it was a very immoral thing that they were doing. But when they were all playing together as a team, they were almost unbeatable. That's who you feared to play. Don't play the Saints, man. They're great. They got a great quarterback. They're coaching, man. They got the whole package. And that's what you have to have, is the whole package. You have to be a team player. And your role in the kingdom of God is how important you are as a team player here. Whether it's here, it's another church, wherever it is, this may not be your church home, but wherever you're serving Christ at, the importance is for you as an individual is how well you fit in with a team and how well you play on a team. Another great example is not just the coaches. How many have heard of a team called the Colts? Yeah, we got some Colts fans back there. I knew Elaine would get on this. How great did the Colts do when Peyton was out? Not so good. Does one man make a team? No, I don't think so. But it was definitely true that they miss his playing style, his abilities, and they miss it this season as well. Even with who's probably one of the greatest young quarterbacks that we're going to see, they're still not there. The team got broken up. His contribution to that team was more than just being an athlete. He was a leader. And they missed that leadership. And you can't replace leadership overnight. You can replace talent, but leadership has to be developed. And that's one of the things that we see. That's where Peyton Manning's importance to that team came from. He was a team leader. That's what a lot of our SEC teams, they flounder. They have great athletes, but you've got young men that don't know yet how to lead. We need to be leaders. That's where our importance in the team comes from, is being a team player and being a leader. Now, is that to say that it always goes right? Any given Sunday, what can happen to any given team in the NFL? They can get beat. Any given Saturday, Friday, whenever in the SEC, what can happen to any given team? They can lose. They may be playing to the best of their abilities and come up against a task that they can't do. You know, that's what happens to us as volunteers in the church. Sometimes it doesn't go well here on Sunday. Sometimes it's a really smooth Sunday. And you guys have no idea behind the scenes what goes on. And I'm going to share some of that today so you can see how to get involved. We're going to talk a lot about being a team player today. But things don't just magically happen. There's a team that makes it happen. But just because you're working as a team doesn't mean there's not any adversity. And we're going to show a video clip this morning. If there's any kids in here that are offended by zombies, you might want to take them out now. We're going to have just a little bit of zombie this morning, a couple of clips. But Sean, could you roll our clip there, please? It takes a minute for the DVD.
There's a reason the dead didn't come back to life and start raiding our cupboards.
We need live bait.
Live bait. That's not good.
Have I mentioned that I really like your new haircut? You have a nice shaped head.
Don't worry about it, bud. Hey, we're going to get you out of here in one piece.
Living piece. The living part is important. Nice and slow, please.
We got you. Oh, you people are crazy.
You want to get it out of your well or not?
Give us an eye there, Maggie.
There's a zombie in the bottom of the well, in case you haven't figured that part out. Okay, you're being lowered by a rope into a well with a zombie in the bottom of it. What could possibly go wrong? I mean, you know, did you see Glenn's look? We need live bait. And they all look at Glenn like, he'll do it. Glenn will do it. Yeah, Glenn will go down in that well. I ain't going down no well with no zombie. I don't know about you guys. You know, somebody always gets elected on the team because, why? Because they do it every time. You know how we burn out volunteers? We throw them into the well every Saturday with a zombie, and we expect them to like it. After a while, you get tired of being zombie bait, don't you? That's not a fun thing. You get tired of it. We need a rotation in our teams. We need everybody serving so that nobody gets burned out. You know, some weekends it's unpleasant. Some weekends things don't go as planned. Sean, show us what happens when things don't go as planned. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? Yeah, that's exactly what goes wrong. Sometimes I feel like Glenn on Sunday mornings. Help me, get me out of here. Things aren't going right this morning. We've got all kinds of craziness. We walked in a few weeks ago. What did Mark and I find in the hallways? Anybody remember? There was a toilet sitting in our hallway with water in it. Now, how many of you guys have children that are preschool age? What happens to a potty with water in it and a preschooler? Yeah, we don't want to know what happens. It's worse than zombies in a well, let me tell you. So we had to go move the toilet. That was not part of our plan that morning. The volunteer team did not say, okay, well, let's make a checklist. We need somebody to make coffee this morning and set up the tables, put the banners out, get the stuff out by the road. And, oh, by the way, who's going to move the toilet in the morning? That was not part of the plan, guys. That was not part of what we wanted to do. And guess what happens when you have to deviate from your typical plan on Sunday mornings? Something suffers because of it. Something we intended to do may or may not get done because we had to focus attention on that distraction. Now, why did that distraction happen? I don't know. I'm not one, you know, I've told you before, I'm not the guy that says Satan's in the toaster, that he's everywhere trying to, you know, fool our plans. But do you think every now and then that Satan might throw a toilet in the middle of the floor just to mess us up? I think so, because it affects you. It affects your attitude. It affects your mindset. I was mad all Sunday morning, and that's something I have to repent of. I was mad because we had to come in and take time to move that instead of being out here talking to people. There's so many things that we needed to be doing. And it wasn't that it was me and Mark that had to do it, although Mark did say I gave him the bad end of it. You can guess which end he got to pick up, which I did enjoy that. But, you know, that was not the plan that morning. And it's not that Mark and I are too good to do it. We pitch in and help wherever we can. But it's a distraction. And it's where the team needs to rally together and we all need to, you know, to figure out, just like we were trying to figure out how to get the zombie out of the well, we all need to come out together as a team and figure out, okay, we've got this problem in our facility. We need to figure out how to overcome that problem as a team. And we'll all pitch together and get it done as a team. If all of us work together, it'll be done more quickly, more efficiently, and guess what? It builds camaraderie amongst us. It's a fun thing. Now, how can you make moving a toilet into a fun thing? By being a team doing it. We can all laugh about it now. I was not laughing that Sunday morning. I was not a happy camper. Mark was mad. I was mad. We're thinking, why in the world do we have to put up with this? You know, and then we start blaming God. God, why can't you get us a better facility than this that doesn't have toilets in the middle of the floor? We never had that problem in the theater. They had their own toilets, and they were all behind stalls where they were supposed to be. It was never a problem at the theater. You start reflecting back, and times were always better than what they really were. Yeah, we forget that we were having to deal with the theater problems at 6:30 a.m. We were having to set up every week. It was horrible. It was wearing us down physically. This place is a blessing for us most times. But we tend to focus on the negative. And that's where the team can come together. And it's really hard to be upset on a team. Somebody will come up, put their arm around your shoulder and tell you, you know what, it's okay, let's just take care of it. Somebody will come alongside of you, serving alongside of you and say, Scott, it's not that big a deal. Come on, let me help you with it, bud. Let's get this taken care of. We'll move on to something else. Here, it's not that big a deal. That's what we need as a church. We need that. And it's very biblical. Let's look at our next passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. We have all these different gifts. And what Paul is using here is an example of your body. Your body works together as a system. You know, when things go wrong, different parts of the body shut down or we have a problem with them or whatever, it affects the entire body. You can't do without, you know, something as simple as your pinky. You don't realize how much that pinky plays in the role in the system of your body or your toes or anything like that. Things that you don't think about, you know. And there's no more important parts in the body than others, you know. Everybody, the brain's the most important part. Well, if the brain doesn't have anything to control, what good does it do? Or if the feet are there, but there's nothing to control them, what good do the feet do? It's all a system. It's all parts of a body. And that's the reason Paul's using this example. It's so the foot doesn't come up and say, well, I am more important than the arm. because I'll walk you everywhere. And the arm says, well, no, I'm the arm. I have to control the hand that grasps and picks things up. And the hand says, no, I'm the most important. It all has to work together as a body to move forward. And that's what we want to do as a church. We want to have forward going momentum to work together as a body. Why? Why is any of this important? Is it just so the facility will be clean and set up on Sundays? No. That's a minor part of our team building. We want a team of believers here that their task is when they leave here on Sunday morning, they want to share Jesus Christ with everybody in the community that they run across. That's where the team comes in. That's what we come. Here's the pep rally, guys. The teamwork, some of it happens today, but some of it happens as we go out in our lives during the week. We need the encouragement of the team on Sundays to help us get through to the next time we meet together. It's a big team meeting on Sunday. We're doing strategy. We're going over plays this morning. We're telling you how to live life. We're telling you what you can do this week at work. Just like I was explaining why we use some of these titles and these series themes that we do. It's also we can come here, we can present the plays to you, and you can go out and you can run the plays all week. Why? Because we want everybody in our community, every person that we run across, to know who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us. That's this very simple basis of the gospel. That's the reason we're here on this earth, is to share the gospel with others. That is very simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the story about it and how it applies to you in your life. It's not a set of verses you have to give people. How many of you grew up in a perhaps Baptist background? Yeah, we got a few Baptists in here. Remember, you always had the Romans Road or these other set of verses that you had to memorize and figure out, and you would go and you would quote those verses and give them to people. Man, that has been a tremendously effective way to share the gospel for decades. But that's not the only way. You may not can remember that. I remember some friends of mine that were missionaries. They had been on, I can't remember what field they served in, but they were in a foreign country for years. They had been witnesses for Jesus Christ. They had seen countless people in that country come to know Jesus and to live like Jesus under their ministry. Well, I came back to the States, and the church I was involved in was doing an evangelism program. And it was just a little different way of presenting the gospel. It wasn't the typical way they'd done it, and it used some different verses. And Bob came to me and he said, gosh, Scott, he said, I'm really struggling with this. He said, that's not the verses I usually use, and this isn't the way I usually do it. I just don't know if I can do this. We were focusing too much on the logistics of how to do it instead of why at that point in time. Bob just needed to be Bob and share the gospel the way he knew how. Obviously, it worked. Obviously, God had been blessing his life, but he got so wrapped up in trying to do it this branded way. There's all these branded ways of sharing the gospel and making disciples and all that. We don't like a lot of programs here at Journey. Not that we don't believe in them, but we don't want the program to be more important than the people. You know what I mean? We don't want you just to come because there's this neat program you can be involved in. We want you to come because you're concerned about people. You're concerned about your family. You're concerned about your friends, your coworkers, that you want them to see what Jesus Christ can do for them. That's what we want to have happen here. And that's the reason it's so important to be part of a team. Continuing on in Romans chapter 12. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. There are so many roles that we can play there. Just in these two verses, it's talked about the body and all the gifts that we have. God's given some of us the ability to speak out with faith. That's public speaking about who Jesus is. Your gift may be serving others. Serve them well. It may be teaching. Teach them well. Your gift may be to just be an encouragement, if you can, to give encouragement to others. You may have the gift of giving. You may have financial resources. You can give generously of that. If you're a leader, take your leadership responsibility seriously. And if your gift is showing kindness to others, be as kind as you can. You know what? There are people that come in here every week, and this is something I'm not going to share any, quote unquote, secrets or inside information that I'm not allowed to share. But guys, there are hurting people come in this church every Sunday morning without fail. I often get the privilege of talking to them about what's going on in their lives. Guys, you have no idea what people struggle with sometimes. You have no idea what they come here looking for. You have no idea what their week's been like. We have so many problems in our lives And people come here looking for encouragement. They come looking for kindness. They're not looking for an educational message. They're looking for a refuge from the storm of life all week, and they come here looking for it. They come here looking for somebody to come up, just put an arm around them and say, "How's your week been? You know, how are you doing?" You know, we have people with physical problems that are very serious. We have people with financial problems, with marital problems. Every single week they come through these doors. And the great thing that we have here in this community is they're transparent about it. And I love that about Journey. It doesn't come in and you put on your Sunday mask, so to speak, and you come in and everything's good. I'm a Christian. Everything's good with life. Everything's perfect. I'm good. You're good. The pastors are good. The staff's good. Everything's good. Oh, yay, go Jesus. And you go home. That's not the way it works in real life. We have burdens, and we need to be transparent with each other about those. When I tell you honestly, some things make me mad here. That's not Christ-like for a pastor to get mad, but it happens, and I'm just telling you, that's who I am, and I struggle with that sometimes, and you have to forgive me, and God has to forgive me, because it makes me angry, some things that go on. Anybody else get angry during the week? Yeah. Yeah. I see some of you on Facebook. We talked about that a little bit last week, didn't we? Yeah. Yeah. Facebook is not the best thing for your testimony. Don't praise Jesus on Facebook and drop the F-bomb on it later that afternoon. That does not work. But we see people do it all the time. And the reason, I realize you're struggling with this. I struggled with something similar. Give me a call and let me see what I can talk to you anytime. You know, you just need somebody to talk to. Here's my number. Give me a call. Talk to me. I'd love to help support you in this. That's what being family is about. I think the problem is that we come in an age where family is not portrayed as being good anymore. Would you guys agree with me there? If you watch TV, are families ever cohesive in a good family? You know, we haven't had a good family since Bill Cosby, have we? I mean, the Cosby Show, those guys rallied together. They were fun, but they had values, and they loved each other. And they struggled at times, but they came together as a family. Now, every family, we see this dysfunctional model where dad's a doofus. Mom's who knows what? She's usually drinking because dad's a doofus. The kids are out of control. The kids hate the parents. The parents actually hate the kids. And that's what we see as family. And that's the reason I think sometimes it's hard for us to break down barriers between each other as a church and a team. It's because we see all these dysfunctional families, and we may be a member of one. I know from your personal stories, a lot of you, your families, you have trouble in your families. You have troubles with brothers and sisters and moms and dads and sons and daughters and all those things that are difficult for you to deal with. So some of us don't even have a good family to compare to. So many people, and especially, you know, it is fantastic to see a couple of weeks ago, children following Jesus Christ and being baptized. You know why? Because there's so many children today don't have a family at home. They have one mom or they have one dad, you know, or they're living with grandparents because mom and dads don't want them anymore. And they're struggling through life. And I love seeing them accept Jesus because at least I know now they've got a father figure that loves them. And they can see what that love's all about and how Jesus loves them just like he loves us. And it's a difficult thing in our society is to see how the family's supposed to work, how the team's supposed to work, how we're all supposed to do things together. Because even going back to our examples of the NFL, NBA, what happens there? We have people that what they think they're more important than everybody else, don't they? I'm the superstar. I'm the superstar in my family. You know, it's beneath me to even speak. I can't remember who the NBA player was I was reading about this week. But he had basically told some of the rookies, "You're not worthy of me talking to you until you get up to my level. So don't speak to me when you see me." I'm like, come on. Come on. You're not worthy of speaking to me. It's this egotistical, I'm more important to the team than you are. And you might be contributing more to the team, but that's a poison to the team. It's a poison to your family. It's a poison to think you're more important than others. It's a poison to take that attitude with those around you, because what happens is it splits the family. It splits the team. So we have all these things. Let's move on to another verse. This is Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Here's the attitude we should have towards that team. It says, "We should work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ." That's where we screw up as people. When you come in here and you help me make coffee, you help Mark do something, you set papers in the chairs. You help us tear down. You help us wash out coffee pots. You're not doing that, I hope, because you think Mark and Scott need the help. We do need the help, but we want you to do it because who are you really doing it for? You're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for Jesus. You're doing it for that reason, because that's the reason this organization exists, is to what? To proclaim his name in our community. So everything that you do that enables that, somebody that's back there changing diapers in the nursery this morning is serving Christ. It's not just because that little child needs a diaper change. It's because they're doing that because they love the Lord and they want to do it for him. How much does that change your attitude towards serving when you think of it that way? It should be a huge change. Here, Jesus Christ did everything for us. He laid his life down. God gave his son, his only son, completely laid his life down to pay the penalty for things that we've done or will do in our lives. We owe him. We talked about this a little bit last week. We owe Jesus for what he did for us. And to help with that feeling of being in debt to him, we can serve him. That's one way we can help with that debt. Not that he demands repayment, he just demands faithfulness. But that's one way we can do that, is that when we work, we can do it for Jesus. I don't think anybody in here is anybody here employed full time by a church? No. None of us here on staff are. None of us. So we all have other bosses during the week. This verse also talks about us being Christ-like and remembering and serving our bosses in the workforce as if we're serving Jesus. That's tough, because our bosses often aren't Christ-like. If they were coming down and you saw Jesus in your boss every day, it would make it a lot easier to be that servant and say, well, I'm serving him like I'm serving Jesus. But it doesn't always happen that way. Our bosses are human. We here at Journey are human. If you serve with us on a team, we're all human. We'll make mistakes. We'll do boneheaded things that don't work out sometimes. We'll do things and say, that's a great idea. One of the greatest guffaws we've ever had in Journey is, don't run the fog machine wide open in the theater. The police, the fire department shows up when you set the smoke alarms off. Yeah, it's kind of like the redneck, you know, y'all watch this. Well, the famous last words were, Dave, hit the smoke machine one more time, and that was it. Fire alarms go off, we've got the fire truck comes on the street, all kinds of problems and craziness. You know, those things happen sometimes. We make mistakes as leaders. You know, we often call the plays, so to speak, on Sunday morning. Sometimes we call the wrong play. It may be the way the room's set up. It may be too hot. It may be too cold. The light's too light. It's not light enough. It's too dark. It's, you know, the music's too soft. The music's too loud. It's too acoustic. It's too rock and roll. It's too this, too that. Sometimes we don't make a play that you agree with. Sometimes we may call the wrong play, and God may say, duh, that was dumb, guys. Don't call that play again. That one doesn't work. Don't run it up the middle every week. It doesn't work. You need to do some passing. You need to improve your game skills. You need to diversify what you do as a team. And that's what we're trying to do at Journey at this point in time in our lives. Journey was a church plant, for you guys that may not know it. This church did not split from anywhere else. It wasn't because we were mad at anybody and we said, we're going to take some people and go over here and start a new church. It's because God convinced Mark and myself that Chattanooga needed a church that focused in a little different way in the way they did things. Not that other churches are bad, but we just saw a segment of people that just were being left out in church and were disillusioned with church to some extent. And that's the reason we started Journey, was to reach those people, to reach people maybe that nobody else wanted to reach, and let them be transparent and bring their problems in here. We don't expect you to clean up to come to Journey on Sunday mornings. We realize you struggle. We want you to work towards being the person that Christ wants you to be. It's a metaphor for the name of the church. It's Journey. We're all on a journey in life, and we all need to work on that as we go. But that's why we exist, is we exist to be a team of people, and that's where it's at now. Guys, up until this point in time, we've led as a staff a lot around here. We've done a lot of things as a staff because with the small numbers we were having, there just wasn't enough people to go around to do everything that needs to be done on Sundays. And through the week. I mean, we have things that happen during the week. We have to run an office just like anybody else does. We have to do payroll taxes. We have to do bookkeeping. We have to keep a website up to date. You know, somebody has to run sound on Sundays and clean the facility, and somebody has to set up. And we need help doing that at this point in time. Journey has been blessed and has grown to the point that as a staff, we can no longer handle everything that goes on here. And I think that's an amen. That's a praise God for us. That's, hey, this is great. This is what we want to see. And we see people that are going out into the community, and we see Jesus being represented by Journey Church members all over Chattanooga and Hickson and North Georgia and Soddy Daisy, and even the God-forsaken reaches of Dunlap over there where some people come from. Yay, Dunlap! You know, we've got people all over the Southeast that are representing Jesus Christ that call Journey home. And we need to come together as a team and work together as a team because we'll accomplish more. Some of the things I want to close out with here is, you know, we need to talk about what our gifts are. How many of you know what the Finding Your Place seminar is about? Some of you do, some of you don't. That happens next Sunday. We wrap that in the context of spiritual gifts. Well, that's what I was talking about in those verses. Some are gifted to serve this way. Some are gifted to teach. Some are gifted because they have kindness. Some of them are encouragers. You need to know how you're gifted in order to serve here at Journey. You need to know what your gift is. Well, how do I know what my gift is? Well, one way is you start serving and see what you're good at. You see where God blesses, you see where your strengths and weaknesses are. If you're not a public speaker and being on stage up here terrifies you, you're probably not the person to come up and do announcements every week. If you're not a morning person and, you know, until you've had like 6 cups of coffee, you can't carry on a decent conversation, you're probably not the person to work in our hospitality area behind the coffee bar, you know? Yeah, that's not a good thing, you know, when people come up, well, good morning, how are you? Meh, want some coffee? That's probably not that's not what we want to see. We want to be an encouragement. We want to build an environment that's welcoming and fun and encouraging on Sunday mornings. And we need you to learn where you can serve at to help us in all of this. We need people that are planners. I know we've got people in the audience today that are business-minded, that are thinkers. We need people like that to help in long-term plans. You know, this has got to get beyond a staff-led church where it is led by you guys because it's your community too. And we want it to be that way. We have never wanted to be the puppet masters up here pulling everybody's strings saying what to do. We want you guys to get involved and be in this community because we love each other. And we all have skin in the game, so to speak, as Mark talks about. You know, one thing I think you can tell how you're getting is if God gifts us at doing something, we'll be able to do it well. Those verses we were reading a minute ago, it talks about, you know, teaching well. If your gift is encouraged, do that well. Give generously if your gift's giving. If you have certain gifts and you start to use them, you'll see God working in your lives, which is a fantastic thing to see. You know, we've had people that come through. I would have never thought that I would enjoy teaching our kids over here, our elementary age kids, as much as I do. That's usually, I like kids. I had a couple of them myself. Thankfully, they're grown now. They do get bigger. It gets better as time goes on. They get bigger. The problems change, but, you know, they're not little kids all the time. Yeah, Mariah's laughing. She knows how that goes. But things change in life. I would have never thought I would want to go back. I've taught elementary kids before, but it's a blast. And I see because I'm a big kid. I have fun with them. We enjoy being together in there and doing things. But on a serious level, I enjoy being able to teach something on a child's level, take one a topic that's so important in Scripture and put it down on a second through fifth grade level so they can take it and use it at school that week. Our kids have the same burdens we do. I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't volunteered to teach in there. I could have just said, no, my gig's here with the adults. I'm an adult teacher. Yeah, right. I'm too mature to teach the children. I'm too important. I'm the associate pastor. The associate pastor doesn't teach children in there and get down and play in the floor with them. My goodness, that would be beneath me. Now, you guys that know me know, well, that's crazy. He's better off over there than he is in here. He's really reaching to step up to be up there on stage. And you're right. You're right. That's where my heart's being me. And God uses you as you. Ask your kids this week what they're learning in there. If you've got a child in Kidmo, I want you to go home this afternoon and ask them what was talked about in there last week and this week. You know what they're talking about? Gifts and being you. And you're the only you. They used a Dr. Seuss rhyme last week about you're the only you. That helps you deal with peer pressure as a child. You guys are the only yous there are. And we need you to be you, and we need God to use you. Everyone has unique talents and gifts. And we need to figure out how those work. I like this quote from Kay Arthur, and I think this is in the slides. It says, so many times we say that we can't serve God because we aren't whatever is needed. We're not talented enough or smart enough or whatever. But if you're in covenant with Jesus Christ, he is responsible for covering your weakness, for being your strength. He will give you abilities for your disabilities. So who's it up to in the long run to work through you? It's Christ. It's not your raw talent that gets things done. Being a church plant, Mark and I carefully followed a lot of pastors that were starting churches when we started. You know what we found? We found some guys that were incredibly talented at building a church. They were running on what the raw talent. They were running on their own charisma. And guess what? They were bankrupt at the core morally. Had several people, and people that I call friends to this day, that fell morally because they were running on their talents instead of giving it to God as his responsibility. That's something we've got to be careful of, is we are us, and we need to be our own personalities and find out where we can serve. But we need to realize, just as Kay Arthur says here, we need to be leaning on God to do it through us. And it's in our weaknesses where God becomes strong. That's what we need to be our motto. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What he's saying here is, I'll happily be weak because that means that God's working through me. I'm not getting in his way. And that's something as pastors, Mark and I have to be careful of on Sunday mornings, is we don't want to get in the way of the message sometimes. I don't want to flavor it so much with my personal opinion that God's word doesn't come through. That's the reason I like to use a lot of scripture when I teach. I don't necessarily like to break it down word by word, but I want you to see there's an overall theme in the Bible. This isn't what I came up with just to con you into volunteering next week. This is what the scripture says. This is not, oh, woe is me. I've got to have the help. Yeah, I would like to have more people involved in programs and things here at Journey we're doing. But it's for you. You're going to benefit from this because God says we will. He says he'll work through our weaknesses. So what I want you to do is think this morning about where you might like to be involved at. And I'm going to tell you some very basic steps in how to get involved here. Number one, if you think Journey Church is your home, whether it's permanently, temporarily, for the next 6 weeks, 6 months, whatever. If you think Journey Church is your home, I would like for you to sign up for the Finding Your Place seminar that we're having next Sunday afternoon. Finding your place is a spiritual gifts thing. What it is basically we'll come through and more thoroughly explain what these gifts are, how they're used, and we have just a little questionnaire thing. And that questionnaire will enable you to look and analyze yourself. It asks you questions like, do you like to do this? One of them would be, do you like to speak in front of people? Yeah. Or are you the guy that likes or gal that likes to work behind the scenes? You know, do you like to have people in your home? Do you feel that you're hospitable or not? All these things go together, and what it does is it helps you and us as a staff to narrow down and say, hey, here's a role this person would fit in. Not to say that we have to put you in this little box and you can never come out of it. But for you that aren't serving, it's a good way to get involved. And we all need to know where we're going to serve at. I would have never thought that I could do what I do today had I not taken one of those gifts inventories. I never knew that. I didn't really think about it. I had been a public speaker all through college and things and in business and hadn't really thought about that applying on a Sunday morning in front of a church crowd. Until I looked at that spiritual gifts inventory and started lining up things, wow. The things that I feel in my heart that God wants me to do line up with what it says here in these gifts. It says I can speak in front of people and enjoy it and want, of all things, to give you scripture and try and make you understand and apply it. That's the reason I'm up here this morning, because I believe that's what God would have me do. You know, I may not be the greatest at it, but I'm going to do my best every Sunday to try and bring you something that's going to make a difference in your life. This week's difference is being a team player. I want everybody here that calls this community your home to be involved some way with Journey. And it doesn't have to be a big deal. It doesn't mean you have to sacrifice hours and hours of time. We're not asking for that. I don't think that's healthy necessarily. But we do want you to be somehow plugged in here so you feel a sense of community here. And that Finding Your Place seminar next week will really help you to figure out where you can serve it. Now, immediate needs that we have, we've mentioned two of them this morning in our announcements, is the coffee bar. We need people that are design-minded, that are thinkers, that can think, wow, aesthetically, how would this coffee bar look? How does it need to be designed? You know, people that have maybe served coffee and know, okay, well, this would be convenient. You know, how high does the countertop need to be? What kind of this do we need to do? How does it need to be arranged in here to efficiently serve it? And then I need people that are simply say, hey, I'd like to just stand back there and fill coffee cups and hand them to people and say, good morning. Welcome to Journey. How are you this morning? I need people like that. We've got two teams right now that we need to fill. We need a building and design team. That's people that have practical skills, whether it's electrical, you know, whether it's demolition skills, painting, plumbing, probably a little plumbing involved. We can get a sink in there. Carpentry, those skills we need because I want that coffee bar in as soon as we can get it. I want it in. I want us to be able to use that so we don't have to set up tables every week like we did in the theater and tear them down. I want it to where it's a pleasant place for people to come on Sunday mornings in an environment that's inviting to people. Say, hey, they've got a coffee bar there. We're not going to do like other churches. It's not a coffee bar for hire. We're not going to go and start buying Starbucks, maca, laca, hotty-dotty-totty things and start serving them over here and charging you $4 a piece for them. We're not here to make money on. We're going to use the same secret coffee blend that I use today. And that secret coffee blend is whatever Walmart has on sale that week. You know? So Karen was shopping for me. I noticed we were low on coffee. I said, Karen, pick me up some coffee. She said, what can I? I said, well, that's like house blend Folgers, I think, was what we got last time. I said, just get that. That seemed to work. And she goes, oh, Scott, they don't have that anymore. I said, they don't have that. She said, no, I've looked at two stores. They must have discontinued. I said, well, just get whatever Folgers. I said, our people would drink hot, muddy water. They don't know. Just get them that. We can put that Starbucks cup wrapper out there. They say, oh, look, they got Starbucks this morning. You know, I'm not a coffee drinker, so I really don't care what you guys drink. You know, doesn't matter to me, so I just make the stuff and occasionally buy it and throw some creamer in it for you. But, yeah, we need people to help with that whole team idea. And we've got other teams, but I'm just trying to take this is a step at a time so it's not overwhelming to us until we get leaders in place. I need leaders in the hospitality greeting areas. I want people that say, I'll be here. I can't, and you don't have to be here every week. I just need to know your schedule. I need to know, okay, I can't be here this week. We're going to schedule you. We'll know when you're here. I need people to take the reins in that and show some leadership in those areas that help us organize so that I don't have to worry about who's here to help out the next Sunday. That's one less thing that the staff has to do that we can focus on being out here with people. We can focus on giving the message. We can focus on teaching and leading as we need to. Not that we're above doing that. We are certainly not too important to. As I said, we carried a toilet through the hallway. We'll do anything, guys. But we need your help. We need your help in doing these things. So think about those two initial teams of either being and we can include all hospitality in there, greeters and that sort of thing. That all kind of goes with the coffee bar serving area. And then if you have talents and ability to do that, if you want to give financially towards that, you know, we would love that. It's going to cost a little bit of money to get that thing in. And like I said, that's so, and it's going to be in this room out here. There's a little closed off room outside of Kidmo, just so you guys will know. That's where we want to put it. As soon as our owner gets back from vacation, he's going to help clean that room out. It's been his tool shed, basically, while he's been working on the facility. He's going to clean that room out and let us use that so that every week we'll have a nice area that we can serve coffee from. We'll probably put some little tables out there, make a conversation area. And we can use that during the week. We can use it for convergence and some other things we got coming down the pike, guys. We're always trying to think ahead, think of things to do. You know, one of them, I'm going to go ahead and share it with you today because I'll need some help on this team. We're not forming the team this Sunday, but it'll be very soon. Our winter series for Christmas and Thanksgiving is going to be called Light. It's going to be called Light. Who's the light of the world? Jesus. Seems like the season that should be about Jesus, we need to show his light in the world. One of the things we're talking about as a staff and need a team to help us with is how to bring light to Black Friday. Does that sound like a good thing? We've got retail stores all around us with hundreds of people that will be out on Black Friday. And we want to know some way that Journey Church can show Jesus to those people. You know, think of some ideas there. We've thought about going and serving them coffee, some things like that. And And we're not going to be out, you know, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? You're going to go to hell for shopping in Walmart today. Did you know that? We're not going to do that, guys. Although I think Walmart on Black Friday is as close as hell as it gets here on earth. You know, that's just me. But we're not there to beat people over the head like that. But we want to let people know Journey is a well-kept secret. People don't know we're over here. They don't know our location. We don't have road friends. And we also want to serve them and just humbly give them a warm cup of coffee or something on a cold morning. That's what we want to do. If you can think of other ways we can be involved. But I love that theme of bringing light to Black Friday. Those are such contrasts, and there's so much power in that. I want you guys to be thinking about that. So as we leave today, the things that you have on your plate before you are, sign up for Finding Your Place if you haven't done that. If you want to be involved in a team for the coffee bar, either the construction, serving, hospitality things, those forms are back there. If you have something else you want to get involved in that you're just thinking, man, I want to help Dave and Steph with the youth, go to them. Say, I want to help. If you want to help in kids, you can come to me today or Deidre most times, Mark, Cassie, any of those people. We'd love to get you involved in serving in kids. If you want to be a greeter, anything that you want to do, but take that first step about finding your spiritual gifts next week. That's what I want to leave you with today, is I would love for you guys to get involved in that. And one of the things that you can help us as a church, if you want to be involved in any of our teams here and you have a computer, and I realize not everybody has a computer, not everybody has a smartphone and all that sort of thing, but if you have a computer and have an email address and such, well, even if you don't have an email address, you can use this. We have a form here, and there's some on the back table, and there's some out front. This is how to get you in our database at Journey. Very practical thing. There's nothing spiritual about this. It's just a way to help us as a church keep track of you and help us put you in volunteer positions and things, and we have a way to contact you, and we can do it from one place. And it makes it so much easier on us, and we're going to start using this for some of our scheduling and stuff. So if your name is not in the Journey computer as such, love for you to take this sheet of paper home with you, log on to your computer, go to journeychattanooga.com, and there's step-by-step instructions here how to get you and your family into our computer system so we can let you know about teams that are forming, so we can help schedule things like our nursery and things, so Deidre doesn't have to do that by hand, just to make us more efficient for Jesus. Does that make sense? I mean, it sounds kind of business-like, but it really is. It's all about being more efficient for Jesus. The more efficient that we are, the more people we can reach, the more people can be involved. So, guys, with the band, if you guys will come back up, we'll get ready to head out of here. Thank you so much for your attention this morning, guys. And let's just have a word of prayer as we leave. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for everyone that's here this morning, God. So many of them are already a part of this team, a part of this community, and I thank you so much for them and what they mean to Mark and I as friends and co-workers in the cause of Christ. God, I thank you so much for all of them. And I know there's other people out here, God, that have maybe just been a little shy about getting involved and not sure where they can get plugged in. God, I just pray that you'll touch their hearts today and show them the importance of being a part of a community of believers and how we can be a team and love and encourage each other every week. And Lord, I just think that's so important. I just pray that you'll impress those folks today, if they're not involved anywhere, to God, to not only sign up for Finding Your Place, God, but to be a part of something, God, that's bigger than them, to be a part of a movement that wants to express Jesus Christ to the community around them and how we can do that, God. Just pray this morning for all the burdens this morning, God. I know everyone here isn't just happy this morning. I know everybody doesn't have a wonderful life. I know things don't go perfectly at home. And God, those families and those individuals that are struggling today, God, I pray that you specially bless them this morning. Let them know you love them. And if there's some way one of us here can show our love to them, you let us know and let us get into their lives, God, where we can support them and love on them too, God. All these things we ask in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.